You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. I should have said, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this food that I'm about to receive. I messed up. I've drank 500, almost 10 cups of coffee and never thanked the Lord for one of them on air. Thank you, Lord, for this delicious blend of herbs and spices put together to make the drink that we know as delicious water and coffee. Tim Hortons, thank you. Amen. Okay, here we go.
Well, I can say amen as far as so be it, but I can't say amen as far as an I agree with you in prayer. Because I'm not a coffee guy.
Well, we're still praying for you. We'll pray this week. People are praying all over the world for your cough, for your laugh. They think that you have pneumonia. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So.
I had a lady tell me that day. She goes, I just can't help but laugh when he laughs. I said, I know, we all do. It's just contagious. So, yeah. And I did have some people say that they like the laugh better than the slurp. I was very offended. But I'll pray.
Amen.
You'll get over it. Amen. Well, Monday was awesome. Great podcast prayer, and I hope that's a help to some folks getting a prayer life started, or at least consistent, or maybe back on track with prayer. That'd be awesome too. Yeah. Let's pick up where we left off in Brother Sherrod's letter. He talks about conducting a prayer meeting and how we do that. So let's talk about, you want to talk about in church first, or you want to talk about prayer meeting outside of church? Where do you want to go with that first?
Well, probably in church, because that's where generally we think of, that's good for me. Of course, the Lord says whenever you're praying just for you and him, get in your closet. In other words, make sure it's private. I'd like to have a specific place to pray. And then most people, the second most place that they pray is in church. And so generally, just as a, off the top of my head, generally most of our churches on Wednesday night, they'll dedicate some time, 5, 10, 15 minutes, something like that is usually designated to pray. And in our church, probably like many, many others, we've done it so many different ways. We just want to sort of mix it up now and again and make it a little bit different so it doesn't just feel rote. It doesn't feel just the same. So, yeah, praying in public is a lot different than praying in private.
And for those that would maybe think it literal, you don't have to pray in a closet. You don't have to go into the closet. I know some people that do. I know some people that literally have a closet that they pray in. And you can do that, but that's not what the Lord's necessarily saying. It's just a room, a special place, a quiet place where you can go. That might be, in the woodshed, behind the house. It might be a bedroom or whatever, but different areas like that.
I think it needs to be a place where you're alone and you can cry out without somebody coming. Oh, what's the matter? There ought to be there ought to be some passion in our prayer.
Yeah.
Especially at times whenever we're burdened or extra grieved, so it needs to be a private place, and I think it's good to pray out loud. I pray silently many times through the day, but I think it's good to pray out loud.
I think one of the greatest hindrances today to prayer is a cell phone. Don't take your cell phone with you when you do that prayer time. You might say that you can resist when all the notices start coming up about emails and texts and phone calls. Leave your phone somewhere else in the house where you can't hear it. Because even if you can hear it, for me, it's a distraction. If I hear that little, bloop or whatever the sound is, clippity clop, whatever sound you use to remind you that somebody's texting.
If you hear clippity clop, you know you got to say amen real quick.
Amen. That's right. So whatever it is, if I hear it in the house, I'm like, I wonder who that was. I wonder who that was. So take it and put it away. Don't put your iPad in. Write it down on a piece of paper if you have to, but don't do that. So
I am going to find a clippity clop sound and make it my notice for text messages.
If I call.
Oh, yeah, I can put it as your ringtone.
My ringtone.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm not going to tell you what yours is going to be.
You better pray about that first.
It involves smoking. At church, I had some great stories about prayer at church. So some of the ways that we pray at church, you know, organized prayer meetings, we have people pray in church. We call on guys to pray in church. And I had a young man that was an usher early on in our church. We didn't have very many people. We were running like maybe 50 people, and we had a family come, and there were two boys, Michael and Marshall, and their sister's name was Monique, and they got called on to usher once in a while. And so I usually ask the ushers to pray, one of the ushers to pray for the offering. And so one Sunday, I think it was Marshall. Marshall came and said, "Pastor, if you need me to pray, I'm ready." And I was like, "Well, that's awesome, Marshall. Good." He goes, "No, I'm ready." I said, "Well, good." He goes, I got a good one." I said, "Awesome." He goes, "I got it right here." And he pulls out a 3x5 card in his pocket, in his suit jacket pocket. "I got it right here. It's all written down, ready to go." I thought, that's wow, awesome. That's really good. He's well prepared. And then I know you've got, and you can follow
prayer
me.
Prayer in a pocket.
Prayer in a pocket. We could trademark that. A pocket prayer.
Pocket prayer.
He was packing. He was packing a prayer in his pocket.
Packing a prayer in the pocket. Like, don't call him Peter Piper.
That's right. How many prayers can Peter Piper I can't even say it. Oh my. Anyways, so you've had instances where you've called on people to pray and they don't pray, right? I've had that happen where you call on a guy and he's not ready.
You know, when my dad pastored, he did the same thing. You know, he'd ask an usher to pray before the offering. And so there was one time he said, "Brother," and I don't remember his name, you know, "Brother mm-hmm. James, would you go ahead and pray for us?" And he bows his head, and everybody in the church is their heads bowed, and they're waiting. And they're waiting. And my dad sort of peeks up, and the guy's waving his arms, shaking his head like, "No, no, 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 no." And so my dad just went ahead and prayed, you know. So I was in junior high. And, of course, you know, he's paused long enough, many people looked up to see what the deal was. And so my dad said, "Son, that's a great lesson. Don't ever call on somebody unless you've already asked them first ahead of time."
That's right.
And
that's
so that was a great lesson. And I did not listen to that lesson, you know, many, many years later. Fast forward to whenever we came here, there was a fellow who was, he was one of the island hoppers in World War II. And so, you know, he was shorter than me. And, you know, his name was Richard Hafer. And so one Memorial Day Sunday, you know, I just had this great idea. I said, "Brother Hafer, would you want to just thank God for the freedoms that we have, you know, in prayer?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, then let's pray." And I just went ahead and, you know, prayed. But, you know, my kids still laugh about that, you know. "Would you, with, you know, we respect you with all of your military service and keeping this place free, would you want to thank God for our freedom today?" No.
No.
He just wasn't a person's going to pray in public, you know.
No, and that's a great lesson for preachers because it's embarrassing for you and for them especially and for people in the church. And you don't want to embarrass people. And we take for granted, but yeah, you have to be careful of that for sure. Let me say that in our prayer meetings at church, one of the things that I love to do is I love to kneel and pray in church. We didn't do it all the time, but sometimes I would just say that. And I learned it when I was here at Cleveland Baptist. They would do that sometimes. And so I did it at home. And I liked that. That was kind of a really neat thing. And if you have seniors, you're going to offer them to be able just to remain seated because you get some old guy with a knee replacement. He's not getting up. He's not coming out of that prayer position without help. And so that kneeling to pray is kind of a special thing. And you have to watch it. You don't go too long in prayer because I've had people fall asleep during that prayer time in that kneeling position. They put their heads down and they fall asleep, so you have to be careful of that. But I really enjoyed those times. I thought that was very special. And then other times where I'd have families come to the altar and pray together, all the families that were there. And if they didn't have a family, then they would invite someone to be a part of their family or, you know, some friends would pray together. But I really enjoyed those times. I really enjoyed that.
We've done, of course, many things like that. Sometimes maybe just the men come pray at the altar. But, you know, afterward, if we will maybe dismiss and have the ladies on one side and the men on the other and just pray and, you know, go around in prayer and, you know, tell somebody if you don't, you know, if at this time you don't want to pray, that's fine. You don't have to. Just tell the person next to you, you go ahead, you know, or I'll pass. You just go on. And so you don't want to make somebody feel like they have to do that because I think prayer shouldn't be necessarily – it's not going to be something that's going to be, you know, regimented and forced upon somebody. So we've done it that way. We've done it where maybe two or three men will pray, you know, for everybody. Mm-hmm. We've done it where we'll pray silent, and then I'll close and, you know, give them 10 minutes to pray, and then, you know, I'll close, and then we'll either dismiss or continue the service. So, you know, during prayer meetings like that, let's say regularly scheduled kind of prayer meetings, what advice would you have? The first thing I would think is pray from your heart. And the second thing is, you know, if you have a prayer sheet, like let's say Wednesday, you get the prayer sheet, and you're the first or second guy praying, I wouldn't necessarily pray for every single thing on the sheet because then, you know, other people sometimes feel like, well, rats, I guess I can't pray for that. And of course they can. You pray for what's on your heart, but you don't need to necessarily pray the entire, you know, all 45, 50 names on the sheet, you know, if you're going to be praying in a round, you know, I would take the sheet and pray for the things that I would, you know, burdened about or the Lord has impressed me about. You know, you may take 15, 20 names, you know, but you don't have to pray the entire prayer sheet whenever, you know, the next guy.
Right. I would caution, too, that you don't allow prayer time. And I don't know so much for ladies. I've not been in their prayer time, but we had men that pray together. Be careful that it doesn't become either a gossip session or, you know, a targeted prayer time where
complaint session.
People, you know, pray, dear Lord, please help Brother Bill and his drinking problem. We know that he's really struggling as an alcoholic. You know, and here's the guy sitting in the room or, you know, his family sitting in the room. And had a guy one time, his future son-in-law was in the prayer meeting and he was praying, you know, how he wanted a better young man for his daughter because the young man that was, you know, going to marry his daughter wasn't all that he wanted.
Oh, my goodness.
Blah, blah, blah. And here's the young guy. He looks up at me, and I look, I'm mortified. The young guy looks up. I look at him. I just shake my head, you know. And I went to the father lady and said, buddy, you can't do that. You cannot do that. That's terrible. And so do that. And then I would just caution. I know we pray from our hearts, and whatever comes to our hearts, we pray. But as a church member, let me caution you, try not to be distractive in your prayer. Some people are very repetitive in saying, you know, a phrase over and over, like "Dear Heavenly Father" or "Dear Lord" or "Dear Lord," and it's "Dear Lord, help my family" and "Dear Lord, help this" and "Dear Lord," and it's very repetitive. There's nothing wrong with that, but it can be a distraction when other people are listening and in praying in front of people. You have to be a little mindful of that. But other than that, pray from your heart, and man, whatever God lays on you.
Well, you know, let me ask you this. All right. What do you think about writing your prayer out and reading it?
You know, I've not done that. I know some people, you know, Marshall, that's what he did. It helps some people, and they could concentrate better.
Yeah, my first reaction is, oh, brother, you know. But right. I did a little bit of research on it, and not the liturgy and you know, canon, the canonical, you know, aspect of that, here's what you must say. But as far as in Baptist churches in the, you know, 1500s, 1600s, many people, they felt like praying in public was so important, mm-hmm. they did not want to say the wrong thing or, you know, be incorrect doctrinally. And so that's where many of our, from our side, not necessarily a Catholic side, you know, but that's where many of our concept of writing out prayers sort of comes from, because they didn't want to say something in public that that would, you know, defame the Lord or would malign him in any way. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, just be careful that when you write those out, that you end the thought at the end of the page. I have a friend who did a wedding one time. He was using the book. And I don't know if he'd written them out or how it was written out, but it said he was just reading the service out of the little books that you get sometimes to do weddings. And he said, "Do you promise to obey?" And then you get to the next line, it was, you know, to the end of the page, and you say, "And do you, Susie, take," and he'd flip the page, "Bill, take," and it's just funny to hear when the thought didn't carry all the way through. So if you're praying, you might, "Dear Jesus, thank you for this day," as you turn the page, just have your thought finished out. So just a little help there. Awesome. Hey, listen, our time has slipped by, and
hey,
we've got Friday.
Before we jump off of this topic.
Yeah.
Have there been other times where you just say, we're going to meet on one particular date, not a church service, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. we're going to meet and we're just going to pray? Have you done that very often in your church?
We have done that at times for maybe a special need or whatever. We've done all-night prayer meetings. We've done those in past where we had people at the church all night long praying. There was something serious. We were buying a building. You know, there was some great decision we needed to make, and we'd do an all night prayer meeting. That was kind of neat. It was hard to do, but it was neat. If you have to stay there all night, that's tough. But we would shift out and have different people come in at different times, maybe a different staff member at a different time, do something like that. But yeah, we've done where we've had, you know, maybe a Thursday night prayer time or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I think that's good, depending on the season and the time and
right.
what the burden is and what the need may be. And amen. Right. Amen. I think that's important.
I like it too when church has like a sports outreach and they have a prayer time before they start. I think that's great for guys that aren't saved that come and participate, to see guys do that. Just make sure if you do that, that you conduct yourself while you're playing in a Christian way, because it's terrible to pray and then to have some guy punch another guy out during the church basketball league. So you got to be careful of that. But I think it's great to offer that prayer. And like, I see that. That's very unusual in sports for sure. So some different things, different ideas. Awesome. Well, listen, I look forward to Friday, and we're going to look at prayer warriors and maybe some other prayer topics that we can think of between now and then, and bring that up. Hey, I mentioned Eric Corley on our last podcast, and I saw as well his daughter, Kirstie. And Kirstie is a fine young lady. She's married to Mike, who does our opening and closing, and Mike Harness, and she's a great girl. But she, man, she was rotten. I was at camp with her one time, and she threw some water at me, or she sprayed me with a hose or something. I forget what it was now. But I told her, you shouldn't have done that. And that poor girl, she got it back. I got a bunch of guys with 5-gallon pails. She walked out of a chapel service, and we drowned her. I still love it to this day. The look on her face was amazing. We took care of her. It was awesome. There you go. Kirstie, don't mess with the man. This is Al Stone, man of revenge, saying have a great week.
This is Dan Wolven, and I believe vengeance belongs to the Lord. And whenever somebody would usurp the Lord's work and the Lord's opportunity for that woe to him. So I'm glad I'm in a different place than where Brother Al Stone is, because I don't want lightning to strike me.
Yeah, you've never done anything like that. You've never done anything like that.
I didn't say that.
That's right.
I didn't claim that.
You never hid in a church building while a guy was printing and waited till he came out of the print shop and scared the absolute daylights out of him. You never did that.
Well, I didn't say that I never did that.
This is Tim Talks. I'm Al Stone. I'm with Bearing Precious Seed Canada and the Canadian Gospel Project, and we are just $80,000 away from reaching a $200,000 matching total. We're taking that to Easter, which is coming up quickly. So if you haven't given to that yet, please consider it and let us know. We could sure use your help. We want to match that desperately. That's going to be a great thing if we can do that. That'd be one of the greatest hurdles we've ever jumped, and God's doing some great things with that. So I hope you have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.